Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and kindness. Pray, Lord, you'd speak to us this morning and just empower us in a supernatural way to see you, Lord, and to be motivated by you, Lord, to serve you. We just thank you. I pray you just anoint me with your spirit and just each person receive the things of the spirit. We give you all this to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Very well-known verse in Christian circles. Use here. Says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, this verse right here, starting in chapter 12 in the book of Romans, we're starting at this point is a section in the book of Romans of application. And how the Apostle Paul usually writes is he'll write, and he puts the theology up front, first few chapters, then in the back, it's application on all his books. Now, and the book of Romans is no different. So we've been through first 11 chapters, we have gone through all of them, but his first 11 chapters, he's focusing on the theology of the Christian life. And now he hits in chapter 12, and he tells us how to apply it. So that's the big change here. And so we're looking at that. Now, important to know with this, chapter 12, verse 1, this verse, all religions have a similar verse. Now, I haven't studied all of them, all right, but they have a similar verse. And what it is, it's a similar verse that will require absolute complete devotion of their followers. I mean, I don't care what it is. They're going to have some verse in there that requires complete devotion. Now, this is important to remember that all religions have similar verses, is this, just like this one. In fact, most religions, and I'm generalizing, okay, work with me here, generalizing, most religions could take this verse and apply it to their own religion and hold on to it and serve God the way they believe he should be served. Okay? Now, that should disturb some of you, because you could take this verse, anyone can take this verse, any religion. Now, this is important to remember, because if you try to apply this verse without the understanding of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit as presented in chapters 1 through 11, it just becomes a verse for self-effort. It's just self-effort. This is what you do. You know, it's a standalone. This is just what you do. So if you apply it without those first 11 verses in mind. And so not only, therefore, if it becomes self-effort, then also these verses of application become powerless, they become burdensome, and they just become rules limited to our own self-effort. You with me now? They're just rules that are accomplished by our own self-effort. That's what happens when you take it by itself. Now, the problem with this, and the thing we should realize, and again, just for awareness of all of us, is that a lot of churches teach like that, okay? They'll say, here's this verse, let's teach on it. Okay, there's nothing wrong with the verse, but if there's not any background following up on that, what they're teaching you is to do this out of your self-effort. And it comes down to be good, try harder. It just does. I don't care how you do it, if you don't have the proper background. So anyone is susceptible to this, and we need to be aware of it. Now, why? The reason is because when you teach these, they become rules with no power to implement them. Rules with no power to implement. You just do it because I said so, all right? And, you know, that can be a good picture of religion. Just do it because I said so, all right? So as we look at this, if we do that, in the church, you can see how this legalism creeps in. But also, if we do that and believe it, without the doctrine of Christ and without the Holy Spirit, we're no better in our theology than the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, or the Buddhist. We're not. And by the way, if you ask these groups, they wouldn't feel bad that I said this. I'm not insulting them. You know, they would say, that's right. This is the verse we use, and this is what we do, and you should too. I mean, so they're not in disagreement with what I'm saying. We would be in that same bucket as all the rest of these people. And these people are not based on Christian doctrine. Now, so let's look at this statement. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay? Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, and Buddhists do this. They are dedicated to their rules. They're dedicated. In fact, they will be known by their dedication to those particular rules. And all these religions, including these, believe by having a dedication to these rules that you will receive, you will obtain heaven, or you will obtain a glorious afterlife or greater state of being, okay, by obeying these rules. So that's what they believe. Now, I don't mean to upset anybody, but in fact, in the age we live in, these Islamic terrorists, okay, those are dedicated people. They are dedicated to their religion. They're dedicated to their rules. And they have rules. This verse would fit them very well. They could look at this. Yes, I'm going to sacrifice myself for what I believe, and I am going to attain paradise. See, the verse is no different. The verse is no different. So it's really important that we look at this, and there's a big error of just becoming devoted to rules. Devoted to rules. It's a huge error, all right? Now, so we're going to look at this and see why this is different for Christians. This is different for Christians, all right? And that's the reason the title of the message is, Therefore. Therefore. Because what happened in Romans 12, what you have here, Paul has presented the most complete statement within the entire Bible of Christian doctrine. You're not going to get a greater statement of faith anywhere than what Paul has presented in chapter 1 through chapter 11. Here is the absolute total doctrine of the Christian life. Now, seminaries will write hundreds of volumes on his first 11 chapters, all right? I mean, he took 11 chapters. It takes us hundreds of volumes to figure it out, okay? But he wrote it in those first 11 chapters. So he writes the complete view of Christianity in the first 11 chapters. Forgiveness of sins, deity of Christ, love of God, the position we have with Christ, and a commission to share that. He presents all of that. All right, first 11 chapters. Then he says, therefore. All right, so the therefore is saying, based on the first 11 chapters, do chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1 is connected with the first 11. And if you don't have the first 11, you cannot do chapter 12, verse 1. And all God's people said, amen. Now, rules are good. How many of you have children? Yeah, rules are good, you know. And I think a little I told you so is okay, you know. The little heads just can't soak it all in. But God didn't work that way. God has said that there's something that with its working in your heart, your commitment to Christ, he's died for you, you're forgiven. He empowers you with the Holy Spirit. We see the glory and majesty of God where he touched us. I mean, it's overwhelming when we have the view of what God has done for us. He, of all the people in the world, take this individually, of all the people in the world, he looked at you and says, I love you. And he touched you. And he brought you to himself. Amen? Every single person in a different way, God brought you to himself. He died for you. If you're the only person in the world, he would have died for you. You were born again. You received the Holy Spirit. You have a home in heaven. You can boldly go before the throne. Amen? Okay. Therefore, now we're at chapter 12, verse 1. But that's the only way you get to chapter 12, verse 1, is through the first 11. Amen? Okay, that's a big deal because that makes us different than other folks. Chapter 12, verse 1 doesn't make us different than other folks. It's the first 11 chapters that makes us different from other folks. Amen? That's huge. That's huge. I tell you what, and again, I just trying to make a point. Do you want to match your personal zeal with those individuals that are just put on the explosive vest and blow themselves up? Those people are zealous. They're committed. And they believe what they're doing. Okay? They don't have the first 11 chapters. Okay, they don't have that. And so there's error. So even in a more subtle way, when you just teach chapter 12, verse 1, even in a more subtle way and don't have the first 11 chapters, there's a perversion to the teaching. It becomes a works. And it becomes a self-effort. And it becomes something that moves you away from God, not closer to God. If you don't have the first 11, you can't do chapter 12, verse 1. Amen. Now, when I say the first 11, okay, there's a lot of stuff there. And it's like, oh, man, I got to have all. No, he's given us the complete details. We have the basics. Again, Christ died for us. We are forgiven. We have a home in heaven. We can boldly go before the throne. He loves us. Those basic truths are in those first 11 chapters. Okay, so we continue to study that so we can have more insight about it. But the basics are Christ died for us and we are forgiven. And he lives within us. We reign with him. Therefore. So what I want to do, therefore, I want us to look at this verse and kind of break it apart. Look at this verse and break it apart and say, no, this applies to us as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it applies only to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to pull it out and set it up by itself and have it some standard by which we try to live up to. It is connected to the first 11 chapters. Amen. Okay? We good. All right, let's look at the first part. Therefore, because you are loved by God, because you are forgiven by God, because you can boldly approach the throne of God, because you have a home in heaven, therefore, Romans 1, therefore, I appeal to you, I beg you, what you thinking? Please, therefore, brothers, by the unbelievable mercies of God, he's pleading with you. Paul is pleading with us. Oh my, if you have any concept of what God has done for you, not what you need to do for God, what he has done for you, he is pleading. He said, come on, look at what you know. Make a decision based on what you know. I appeal to you. Giving the info, but I can't make you do it. I've given you all the stuff of what God has done. But there's on your side of the equation a decision that has to be made. Why? Therefore, because of chapters 1 through 11. I beg of you. So, he's saying that God has given his life for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at all he's done for us. I beg of you, do what? Do what? Next, therefore. It's one therefore, but three parts. Next, therefore. 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 The next therefore, Christine. Therefore, present your bodies. There it is. Therefore, present your bodies. Now, this is fascinating. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now, what's important to this, based on all the things we know, he said, present your, and it's very important here that the word he uses, bodies, it means you. You know, your arms, legs, head, eyes, present your body is a living sacrifice. Okay? This is a visual of who you are. This is a visual that walks around this world. This is, you know, your body that goes to work. You know, this is your body that fixes breakfast. And he says, present this body as a living sacrifice to me. Present this body to me. This functioning vehicle. This functioning vehicle. I want this functioning vehicle. All right? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, what's important here, and we can understand what sacrifice means, but in this setting, it has in mind the Jewish sacrificial system. Paul's a Jew. All his adult life and his conversion, all right? Christianity's built on the Old Testament, what the Jews had written, all right? So there's a Jewish element of when he says sacrifice. So we need to understand what sacrifice meant to his context and to the Jewish foundation. All right, these Old Testament sacrifices, this sacrifice has to do with Old Testament sacrifices. Now, as a generalization, the animal sacrifices were all killed, all right? They're dead. They kill them. And all these sacrifices were totally consumed. They were, when you sacrifice these bulls, lambs, or whatever, you consume it. You burn the whole thing up. Nothing left over. Now, some of them, they were allowed to eat in certain parts of the meat. So you could heat the meat, consumed it, and then you burn the rest of it up. So when you talk about Old Testament sacrifice, you're talking about sacrifice that is totally consumed. There's nothing left. You'd burn the sacrifices over, nothing left but ashes, and it says the smoke would go up, and several places it says this. God says it was a sweet aroma. Sweet aroma. So they burned those sacrifices. And we know now, without getting in all the details, that those were a picture of Christ. So he's looking forward to Christ in these Old Testament animal sacrifices. And so you burn these sacrifices and the smoke goes up. And he goes, oh, smells good. He's going, Jesus smells good. Looking forward. This is the Savior of the world. So that's what those. So this is what he's talking about. So what he says here, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, I want 100%. I want 100%. Don't want 90. I don't want 80. Sure don't want 60. I want 100%. And I get 100% of that sacrifice. Smells good. That's my add-on. All right. He didn't actually say that there. But anyway, going back to the Old Testament. But you see what God, so Paul's saying, okay, based on what God has done for you, oh my goodness, is it, give your bodies, it's a living sacrifice, wholly, 100% devoted to me. In places in the Old Testament had very interesting things, like the Jews, they would worship God, and then they have a couple of other idols they would worship, you know. God cursed them. No. Me alone. I'm not sharing. It's me alone. So here we have the whole question. So like the Old Testament sacrifice was totally consumed, we are living sacrifices totally devoted to serving God. Okay? Totally committed. Totally devoted to serving God. Well, I like this and sort of, I just like church on Sunday. Not good enough. He said, I want total devotion. God is saying, do you have any idea what I just said in chapters 1 through 11? I want everything. I gave you everything. I want everything from you. He says, total devotion here. And here is the thing that comes out, and this is, we all have to look at this. The visible action of our heart in pres- The visible action of our heart is presenting our bodies to serve God. Say, yeah, Wallace, you love God? Yeah, more than you. I love him a bunch, you know. How, you know, well, prove it. I told you that's good enough, you know. Well, in the Bible, it doesn't say that. The Bible says it's evidenced by your actions. It is evidenced by your actions. Now, this is an individual thing we're supposed to, for ourselves. The Bible is very clear. We're not supposed to judge other people, all right? It's for ourselves, you know. But it says, you know, if you're devoted to me, it's going to change your actions. You're going to act different. Why? Because you're devoted to me. You're going to behave differently because you're devoted. What rules? I don't know. You don't, it's not rules are not the issue. It's a devotion to God. The devotion to God changes your actions. The devotion to God, your actions indicate what your heart is doing. Amen? It is. Now, don't judge anybody else. Just judge yourself and, you know, convict yourself. Don't try to convict everybody else, all right? Because that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. So, this is the picture of presenting a living sacrifice. And I think also this is the reason that he uses the word bodies. Bodies. What you doing? What you doing with your body? You know, where is your body? You know, well, my mind was here. You know, now I want to know where your body was. See, where is your body? You know, it says, you know, I'm with you in spirit. I want your body there, all right? Now, it does say where Paul talks to one church. He says, now I'm with you in spirit. He couldn't be there, so he does say that. But what they're saying, no, I want your body there. It's kind of every spring we're out there and do mulch outside. You know, it says, I'm with you in spirit. No, I want your body there, okay? Show me your body there. See, that's what God's saying. I want your body. I want to see some action here. I want to see some movement here. Why? Because of what Jesus did for you explained in the first 11 chapters. So you present yourself as a living sacrifice. By the way, he wants you alive. He wants you alive. Did you know it's harder to live a lot of times than die? You know, it's like, Lord, I'm done. Take me. Just take me. I'm finished. You know, don't care. They don't like me. I don't like them. Just go. You work it out. You know? No, you stay. You're supposed to be living sacrifice. Put your body out there for me because you love me. But I feel so right. No, that's not focusing on me. You see what I'm saying? And that's what he's saying. That's the reason he used the word body. It is a fascinating word. And again, we're going to applications. Romans 12:1. He says, body. Okay? The Holy Spirit comes and fills us. What does he fill? Our body. See? And so this is where the whole thing, where we move into the application phase. And this is what makes us different from other religions and other zealots and all different things, because we're basing on what God told us, our love of him and him empowering us. Now we're going to present our bodies to him, which he tells us what? Love other people, share Christ with other people, be kind and compassionate. See, that's what he's telling us. And we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and died for our sins. He goes, I've done that for you. You, now I want you to present your body. All right, I think we got that. All right, so okay, now here's the thing. This is our assignment. This is our assignment. You ever wonder what your assignment is? This is your assignment. Present your body. It's a living sacrifice. Your very life, okay, your very life, because of your very life, this is your assignment, to present your body. Look at all the things you've been through in your life. Okay, present your body. It's all come up to this point. Present your body based on what God's told you in the first 11 chapters. We talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, present your body. See, this is where the element, where the avenue in which God is using, and the evidence to the world is what happens with our bodies. Now, therefore, we present our bodies alive to Christ in an intelligent and deliberate action. All right? We present our bodies to Christ in an intelligent and deliberate action. Because I've talked to people and they say, it just is the Lord leads. You know, I'm telling you, the Lord's leading, all right? I have to tell you this. This is the funniest thing I ever heard. You may not think it's that funny. I thought it was funny. I was looking at one of these pastors, and he went, and they had an altar call. They had a big altar call. And so they went down there, and I guess the Spirit was really moving. And so this guy laid hands on this, and he had to be another pastor. And he just, like, melted to the floor. I guess the Spirit came on, and he just out on the floor. You know, and it's like, it's okay. They went on. He really had experience with the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, his wife was sitting in the back, and she had 2 kids, 2 and 3. And so she sat there back, you know, and after about 50 minutes, 30 minutes, kids crying, wanting to go home. And one of them finally, and I'm just saying, it just makes it funny. One of them had to go to the bathroom and wet on the seat. You moms know what it is, you know. So this guy's on the floor experiencing Jesus, I guess. And she's in the back seat with these 2 kids in the back pew with these 2 kids, one wetting on a chair. She gets the 2 kids, comes up, and she bends down and whispers in her husband's ear and says, "The Lord says it's time to go." See, God moves in a lot of different ways. You know, this is an intelligent, deliberate action. Okay, that we do, we present our bodies. It's something that we know what we're doing, but we do that. And God says when you present it, and he actually tells us in this in the chapter 8 and 7 and 8, he says when you present your bodies, he empowers our bodies. All right, so we present it, but he empowers it. Therefore, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's why that word is so big, living sacrifice. And then it says it's holy and acceptable. Well, how are we holy and acceptable? Because Jesus made us holy and acceptable. We don't become holy and acceptable. We are holy and acceptable because what Jesus did on the cross. Therefore, present your body. You are holy and acceptable. All right. I beat that drum. I think we got it. All right. But this is a decision we have to make based on what we know. No. Now, here's the next part of this, which is fascinating to me. He begs us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Because therefore, he says this is your spiritual worship. Now, think about that for a minute. Everything we just talked about, think about everything that's been said about presenting your body as a living sacrifice. He says, this is spiritual worship. I love coming in here, and I think we have a great worship team. I think they do a great job on the music. And I can go, and I just love, and the Lord says, that is worship. That is worship. And it just really just, I just love it. But what the Bible says here says, no, you want to see that worship going up to God, that God's just savoring. He goes, present your body as a spiritual sacrifice. Oh, that's spiritual worship. That's spiritual worship. See, here's God, how God's looking at us individually based on what we know. And he said, oh, just present your bodies. And that's a spiritual worship that I'm using you as an avenue in this world. Now, I want to look at this. These words in here is very interesting. Is this spiritual worship? Neither one of those words translate well from Greek to English. All right, they just don't translate well. But you get by looking at the context that they're used in other places, you get an overall view of what they are. But I want us to look at what this spiritual worship is, because this is what we're presenting our body as, spiritual worship. And it's this. The spiritual word for spiritual, it's not the word typically used for spirit, okay? It's a different word. And what it means is, it means reasonable, sensible, pertaining to mind and heart, like devotion. So we just don't have a word for that. We don't have one word for that, what this one means. But that's what it is. In fact, the King James uses the word reasonable. This is your reasonable service. It uses reasonable. So spiritual here means reasonable, sensible. Now you can understand, why is it reasonable and why is it sensible? Because what God just told us in the first 11 chapters, is it just sensible that we do this? It's just reasonable that we do. Look what he just told us. So it's a sensible, reasonable. However, it's pertaining to the mind and heart that you're really buying into this. You're really buying. Your whole heart's moved. You're buying into this. Nobody's going to talk you out of it. You see what I'm saying? It's coming from within. So that's the spiritual part. If y'all think of some English words, you should write the commentators on this. Evidently, they don't have one. So they use spiritual. All right. Now, the other word, worship. Now, this word is, again, what it means. It means ministry to God. It means ministry to God, a divine service dedicated to God. Now, in the Old Testament, it was used when the priests performed their sacrifices and service to God. It was called like a ministry. This worship, because it was more than just doing the sacrifice. They were into it and they were doing it to God and dedicated to him. So it was more just than dedication. It was more than just ministry. It had a heartfelt ministry to God with it. So what you have here is a ministry to God, divine service dedicated to God. Now you see where this is going? We're to present ourselves as living sacrifices. What? It is reasonable and sensible and a divine worship, a divine service to God. So we're getting deep in this stuff. We don't have any 90% players in this game. There's no 90% players in this game. Not God's game. All right? There's even not 99% players in this game. This is 100% sold out folks in this game. This is who he's talking to. And so when he says this, you give yourself as a living sacrifice. This spiritual worship is to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, as your sensible ministry to God. That's what he's saying. Now that's the application. That's the application. This is your assignment. This is your spiritual worship. So God's saying, see, sometimes you look at the information and then God says, all right, you got, I want all of you. You ever do something and get ticked off somebody else? How come I got to do this? He don't. There's not a lot of spiritual worship in that attitude. You see what I'm saying? And God said, no, this is between me and you. This is between me and you. And so he's pressing us. So this is our assignment. This is our spiritual worship. Now, the Apostle Paul in Galatians. Now, Galatians runs parallel with Romans, okay? It's six chapters. It condenses Romans 16 chapters to six chapters, okay? So it just condenses it. So it follows along the same principle. The same things are expressed there in a condensed form in Galatians. But what the Apostle Paul does, he actually gives us a verse that helps us to understand what this living sacrifice is and being our spiritual worship to God. And here it is in Galatians 2:20. Oh, he ain't going to let up. I mean, this is like, he condensed this and he just put our feet to the fire. All right? Look at this, Galatians 2:20. Now, this is all connected. Paul wrote it, same mindset. He goes, I've been crucified with Christ. Hey, we're talking sacrifice again. We went to sacrifice again. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Is Christ dead? I mean, is Paul dead? He's dead now, but was he dead then? You know? He goes, I've been crucified with Christ. He sounds like one of those living sacrifices, all right? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a living sacrifice whose ministry is spiritual worship to God. That's it. Same thing. Romans 12:1 and this verse go right together. He said, this is the way I want. See, I think sometimes we look at this, you know,
I liked it better, Wallace, when you talked about theology. You kind of get in the clouds and float around in there, and the Holy Spirit coming and going and all this kind of stuff and what Jesus did, you know. Because when you apply it to what we're supposed to do, it's 100%. Everything. He's not leaving anything open for you. He's, no, I bought you. You're mine. You are, all of you is mine. All right? Present your body now. Present your body. Now, your position, my position, and role in life, you won't know this, it's 2017. Your position and role in life is to serve, is an avenue for Christ to flow through. That's it. Simple. Job description. That's your job description. See, you can put any details you want to under that. Your position and role in life is to serve, is an avenue for Christ to flow through. That's what he said in Galatians 2:20. Exactly. So, that's what's required of us. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean? It says, calling, everybody needs to be full-time ministry, you know, be a preacher. No, it's not even, I think the world's got too many preachers anyway. All right, this is not what he's talking about. It's not what he's talking about. Okay, what he's talking about is every single individual has a purpose to serve Christ in their sphere of influence. Wherever you are, wherever your sphere is, you are to serve Christ. And I've said this before. How many times, wherever you are, well, you can do anything you want to, but mention Christ. Because Satan knows your commission. So Satan can't destroy you, so he wants to shut you up. And God's proclamation is you are not to shut up. You have to work in authority, but you move. You are who you are. You present your body. Every place you present your body. Say, okay, Christ, flow through me. Flow through me. Give me an opportunity. Maybe, hey, we can talk, you know, after work. I got something I can share with. Something. You constantly move because it says be under authority unless you have to deny Christ. And so, but you are to serve as Christ's representative wherever you are in your sphere of influence. That is what you're supposed to do. That is Romans 12:1. You present yourself as a living sacrifice every Sunday morning and while you're teaching Sunday school. That's good. But no, at work, at home, with your kids, with your spouse, with your neighbors, you are Christ's representative for Christ to flow through in that situation. That's what Romans 12:1 says. And so everybody, this should be for everybody. God wants everybody to be good father, good mother, you know, good husband, good wife. That's what you present your body there. He wants you to be a good accountant, good salesman, good engineer, all right, that loves Christ with their whole heart, which is your spiritual worship being an avenue for Christ to flow through. That's the call. That is the call. If you don't do that, 1 to 12 is just kind of, I don't want to say trash, but ineffective. See? The people that have less than chapters 1 through 12 are showing all sorts of zeal, even suicidal zeal. And we have the truth of Christ and will not even mention his name. God's not happy with that. 100%. We are Christ's representative in this area. You are Christ's representative in your sphere. And you are to present your body as a living sacrifice for Christ to flow through. Amen? That's what it says. Now, he's going to tell us more ways how to do that all the way through chapter 16. And then it's going to be fun. Right? Because he's going to tell us how to do that. He's going to tell us some specifics. If we're a little confused, he's going to tell us some specifics how to do that. But it's all of us being an avenue for Christ to come through us. That's it. Us individually.
us individually. Amen? Now, so here's something. I'm gonna add my name to a list of guys I really respect. But I mentioned this about Pastor Milliken, Leon Price, and R.T. Kendall. R.T. Kendall's not dead, but the other two are. But I've told you this before. They all said, without any information that I can tell you why they said it, but they just said it. And they said, before Christ comes back, there's going to be a big move of God. He said, it's going to be obvious, and God is going to move within people. Things are going to happen, and his people need to be ready and alert. I just kind of, I don't measure up to these guys, but I just kind of got that in my heart, like, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Okay, it's not us. It's something God is going to move. But as he moves, he's got to have his people ready that'll be avenues for Christ to flow through. All right? You have to be there, and you have to be aware, and you have to be prepared. And that's the reason you're a living sacrifice. By the way, when are you a living sacrifice? You know, like, I'll do from, you know, 9 to 5. Well, I'm a 9 to 5 living sacrifice, you know. It's like, or maybe, you know, after I get back from work, I'll try to do a 6 to 10 living sacrifice. You know. No, you're all the time. You're representing Christ in every situation. And so God is calling us to be aware that he is moving, and he wants us to be alert. A living sacrifice. And God says, I am moving. We're just like Jesus when he walked around the promised land. We are just like Jesus walking around where we are. So summary here. Based on what you know and have accepted, in every situation at all times, present your body as an avenue for Christ to flow through and in your sphere of influence. This is the reason the Bible says in several places, and it says this, just out of the blue, keep alert. Keep alert, you know, because I'm doing stuff. You just keep alert. And hallelujah, we got the message, John 3:16. I mean, don't get, you know, I mean, we want to just keep it what we're on here. Just keep it. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is good news. And that is the news. That is the news that Paul explains in Romans 1-11. That's he breaks it out, covers all aspects of how it works. But this is what he is revealing to us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. And all of the world and all of the history rotate around this. It all rotates around this. All right? It's what God has done for us. Not what we're doing for God. See? And by presenting our bodies, as you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. Oh God, fill me, show me, fill me, show me. And then we become his instruments based on his direction. Big difference, big difference. Well, why don't we stand and we'll praise the Lord and worship him. And as they come forward, let's just go up and hear this year 2017 and say, Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. And Lord, too, you're calling us that you have given us everything. You have died for us. You are a sacrifice for us. You died in our place. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And God, we just say, all right, God, here's my body as a living sacrifice for you to flow through me because I love you. I love you, and I want to tell other people that you love them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.